Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Built to Last: Successful Habits of Visionary Companies is a Management and Corporate Strategy Study by Jim Collins and Jerry I. Porras. First published in 1994, it draws on a six-year Stanford research project comparing 18 companies judged visionary with carefully selected competitors. The authors examine organizations across their histories rather than treating a single chief executive, product launch, or financial period as the explanation for excellence. Their central concern is institutional durability, how companies can remain influential through leadership changes, technological shifts, and changing markets. Collins and Porras argue that enduring firms are built through organizational design and repeated practices, not through the exceptional qualities of one heroic founder. The book develops a vocabulary that became highly influential in management writing, including core ideology, big hairy audacious goals, cult-like cultures, and the distinction between preserving the core and stimulating progress. Its purpose is not to offer a formula for guaranteed returns, but to identify habits that help prominent companies become organizations designed to outlive individual leaders and temporary business conditions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building the company as a clock rather than relying on a time teller. A defining argument of Built to Last is that leaders should build an institution capable of producing good decisions repeatedly, rather than make the institution dependent on their own insight. Collins and Porras describe this contrast as building a clock instead of merely telling the time. A time teller can supply an answer at a particular moment, perhaps through charisma, market intuition, or technical brilliance. A clock is an organizational arrangement that continues to function when its original designer is gone. This focus challenges common business narratives that attribute a company's trajectory to a famous founder or a dramatic product idea. The authors show that several firms they studied did not begin with a uniquely clear product concept and sometimes changed direction substantially. What mattered more was the creation of mechanisms for experimentation, succession, cultural continuity, and disciplined decision-making. The implication is demanding a leader cannot claim to be building for the long term simply by articulating an inspiring strategy. Hiring practices, promotion systems, training, governance, and routines must make the organization less reliant on any one person. This perspective also explains why the book emphasizes history over short-term performance. An enterprise proves its institutional quality when it can renew itself across generations without discarding the principles that give its members a shared identity. Secondly, core ideology separates enduring purpose from changing strategy. The book's concept of core ideology has two parts: core values and core purpose. Core values are a small set of deeply held principles that do not require external justification, while core purpose describes the organization's enduring reason for existing beyond profit. Profit remains necessary, but Collins and Porras treat it as a condition of survival and a resource for pursuing a larger mission, not as a sufficient source of identity. This distinction matters because companies inevitably alter products, markets, structures, and methods. Without a stable reference point, adaptation can become drift, with each new executive redefining the enterprise according to immediate pressures. A clear ideology gives change a boundary, and a direction management can revise almost everything, except the few commitments that define what the organization is. The authors do not argue that firms should invent attractive value statements for public relations. Their examples stress alignment between stated beliefs and everyday practices, including who is hired, what behavior is rewarded, and which opportunities are rejected. A value that is routinely ignored is not core. The framework is useful because it separates principles from strategy. Strategy should be tested and replaced when conditions change. Ideology should be discovered, clarified, and consistently protected. That separation helps organizations avoid treating every established procedure as sacred while still retaining continuity through disruption. Thirdly, big hairy audacious goals turn long horizons into organizational momentum. Big hairy audacious goals, commonly shortened to BHAGs, are bold and consequential targets intended to mobilize an organization over a long period. In Built to Last, they are not synonymous with vague ambition or inflated financial forecasts. A genuine BHAG is concrete enough that people can understand the challenge, large enough to require unusual effort, and distant enough to demand sustained commitment. The authors identify several forms, including target-oriented goals, common enemy goals, role model goals, and internal transformation goals. Each type creates focus by making an important future state visible to employees and stakeholders. Their role is especially significant in established companies, where prior success can encourage incremental thinking. A demanding objective can compel investment in new capabilities, coordination across divisions, and a willingness to persist through setbacks. Yet the book places BHAGs inside a larger system. A goal without an underlying ideology can become a publicity device, or encourage destructive behavior in pursuit of a number. Conversely, values without a compelling future can harden into complacency. The intended combination is continuity of purpose and urgency of progress. Once a major goal is achieved, leaders must also avoid treating it as a final destination. Enduring organizations renew the challenge, translating their purpose into the next demanding objective, rather than allowing achievement to rub appetite for development. Fourthly, preserve the core and stimulate progress through both end thinking. The central operating tension in the book is the need to preserve core ideology while stimulating progress. Collins and Porras reject the assumption that a company must choose between stability and change, discipline and creativity, or long-term values and ambitious growth. Their proposed approach, sometimes called the genius of the and, asks leaders to hold seemingly opposing requirements together. An organization can protect a stable purpose while changing products and structures. It can maintain cultural discipline while encouraging experimentation. And it can pursue financial performance while serving an aim beyond profit. This is more than a rhetorical preference for balance. It requires leaders to classify elements of the business correctly. Core values and purpose should be durable, but operating practices, strategies, and even successful business models are open to revision. Confusing these categories produces two familiar failures. Companies may defend obsolete methods as if they were principles, or they may abandon their identity whenever a new market opportunity appears. The book also emphasizes evolutionary progress, meaning that useful innovation frequently emerges through experimentation, accidents, and local initiatives rather than from a complete master plan. The managerial task is to create an environment where such variation can occur, retain what works, and integrate it without losing coherence. This makes adaptation a continuing organizational capability rather than an occasional rescue effort. Lastly, culture, alignment, and the limits of the visionary company study. Built to Last gives unusual weight to strong cultures, describing some visionary firms as cult, like in the limited organizational sense that they create intense commitment, clear expectations, and a strong sense of belonging. The point is not that every employee must think alike, or that leaders should demand unquestioning loyalty. Rather, companies with a well-defined ideology use selection, socialization, and internal norms to attract people who fit and to make misalignment visible. Such coherence can lower ambiguity in decentralized decisions because employees understand the standards that should guide action. It can also preserve continuity during leadership transitions. The risk is equally clear: a strong culture can become exclusionary, suppress dissent, or confuse loyalty to inherited routines with loyalty to genuine values. The authors counter this risk through their parallel emphasis on progress and experimentation. But the tension cannot be eliminated by culture alone. The book's empirical claims also deserve careful reading. Its comparison method offers richer evidence than a collection of isolated corporate anecdotes. Yet it selects companies after their success was visible. Later difficulties at some featured firms demonstrate that the framework is not a permanent certification of superiority or a reliable prediction of stock performance. Luck, industry conditions, execution, and governance still matter. The most defensible use of the study is as a set of design questions: whether an organization has an authentic ideology, systems that support it, and a disciplined capacity to evolve. In conclusion, Built to Last is most useful for founders, senior executives, managers responsible for culture or organizational development, and nonprofit leaders who are trying to create institutions, rather than simply improve the next planning cycle. It is also valuable for students of strategy because it shifts attention from competitive moves alone to the internal architecture that lets an organization persist. Readers can use its ideas practically by distinguishing values from operating habits, testing whether stated purpose affects real decisions, designing ambitious goals that build capability, and reducing dependence on individual leaders. The book stands out in its category because it is organized around paired historical comparisons, not merely the biographies of celebrated companies. That design supports its effort to identify recurring differences between admired firms and comparable rivals. Its lasting influence also comes from the clarity of its concepts. Terms such as core ideology and BHAG provide leaders with usable language for problems that are often discussed vaguely. Still, the book should not be read as a predictive screen for future corporate winners. Some companies highlighted in the original research later struggled, and success cannot be separated entirely from timing, industry change, and chance. The more durable contribution is conceptual rather than deterministic. Collins and Porras offer a disciplined way to ask what should remain constant, what must change, and what systems make those choices endure beyond a particular leader. That institutional focus distinguishes it from business books centered primarily on personal leadership style or short-term performance techniques. If you would like to support Jim Collins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.